And when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, we see in today's gospel a perfect example of the way God provides for the needs of the faithful. The people there that were with our Lord on that mountain, out there, they recognized him to be of God. They recognized him that he had these words that were going to be to their own spiritual profit and to their own potential salvation. And so they followed him. They saw the miracles that he had worked. They saw them healing the sick. They saw him, you know, taking those who were blind and making them see, and all these other great miraculous things of his life. They heard the words that he spoke, and they had never heard a man speak like Jesus had. They heard the wisdom of the things of God in his voice. And so they set off with him on this day. They set out and they followed him into the wilderness, putting full trust in him. They saw in Christ himself that opportunity which stood before them, the opportunity to do the things of God, to hear the things of God, to follow what they needed to for the benefit of their souls. And they grabbed hold of that very opportunity to the point where they followed him without any worry whatsoever as to their basic necessities, as to the things that they would require for the day, including food. They went out without even thinking of packing any kind of food. They just knew they had to hear what Christ had to say to them. And so, because they put that great amount of trust in our Lord, knowing that they couldn't pass up that opportunity, our Lord rewards them for it. Christ saw their goodwill. He sees that abandonment to him that they had, and that trust in their hearts, and he therefore rewards their faith first and foremost by taking care of their spiritual needs. That's what they're seeking after. They want to hear these words of life from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so they follow. So our Lord gives them that. He instructs them there on the mountainside. He gives them exactly what they've sought after, those words that are going to help them save their souls. Yet he also provides for them in their physical needs by the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes to feed the 5,000, thus performing another great miracle, confirming in them what they had already known about him, that he was a truly great man, that he really was from God. And so by that miracle, he confirms what he has done in the spiritual realm for them, but also takes care to provide for their very physical needs. We also see in the liturgy today the epistle referring to that same providence God provided. Abraham was promised by God a son from which a great multitude of generations would flow from, that it would be his children's children that would populate the chosen people of God. And this promise was before Abraham. And Abraham wavers. The people on the mount never wavered. They trusted him, they followed him all day long, and they stayed with our Lord. But Abraham, he had a lot longer to wait than just a simple day. And so, after a long period of time, and still no child by his wife Sarah, he wavers. And he does the natural aspect of it by taking a second woman for himself, which at that time, in the time of the patriarchs, bigamy was not a condemned action. So he takes the bondwoman, the slave woman, Agar, as his new wife, and he has a child, Ishmael, by her. But this is a child purely of nature. This is not the child of promise. This is the child of the flesh. And our Lord, he makes good on his promise despite that fact to Abraham. He still gives him the chosen child in Isaac to the wife Sarah. But he makes him, again later on, make good on that act of faith. If he is to merit the rewards of that promise, he has to make that good action of faith. The first little action of faith is that he has to put away the bondwoman and his child with her and send them off. A great sacrifice to be made because it is still his flesh. And so he sends off Hagar and Ishmael to be outside of the family. But then an even greater sacrifice comes. Now he's really left truly with only one child, and he knows it's the promised child, the child of his wife Sarah. And he asked, and God asks him later on to take Isaac, his only son, and bring him up to the mountain and to sacrifice him to himself. And at this, Abraham follows. He learned his lesson from that first time that no, it is God's providence that has to rule all things. And so if God has spoken to me and told me that I have to sacrifice Isaac, then as painful as that is, I have to do so, and I have to do so willingly. And so he goes out, brings Isaac carrying the wood up the mountain, and raises up his knife over his own son. And just before he comes down to sacrifice him, God stops him. He sees the good faith of Abraham, and he blesses him because now he has made his action of faith, and he provides him with the necessary ram to sacrifice there on the mountain. And we know the rest of the story as it goes, that Isaac then has children, and generation after generation that spreads, and that great multitude of people become the chosen people of God, the seed of Abraham. But it all had to do with the very fact of God's promise, and then the action of faith put in the good God, that his will be done. And then he provides for it all. And that's the lesson for all of us to ultimately take, is that God's providence always will provide for us, always will take care of our needs. He always looks to provide for our spiritual needs first. Just like the people on the mountain, they first got their instruction before they got their bread and fish. Our spiritual needs have to come first. He cares more about our souls than he does about anything else in our lives. And so when we ask for a spiritual good, when we ask for the graces we need to get ourselves to heaven, to save our souls, to fight against temptation, to do all the things that we must in order to ultimately die in that good holy death, that good sanctifying grace, and be with him forever, God will always provide those things for us, those spiritual graces that we need. But he also ensures us that he'll care for our temporal needs as well. All our temporal needs will be met. Not all our temporal wants, but our needs. He will care that we will not starve to death, or that we will not die of thirst, provided that we do all the things that we need to in order to please him in our life. All the things, all our needs will be met. So, this sometimes can be procured by simple means. God wants to give us what we ask for, and so he asks that we ask of it of him. He asks that we pray to him for these things. He asks that we persevere in those prayers and trust that he will do what he promises for us. And oftentimes we pray, and that good result comes from our prayers. Perhaps we do a novena, or perhaps we offer a mass for an intention, or whatever it may be. We do that little bit of action, and God rewards us for that by seeing it through. But at other times, he tries us, just like he tried Abraham. The people on the mount, they put forth a little bit of faith, and God rewarded them there that same day. Abraham had years of time, and he had to persevere through, and he faltered. But still, in the end, he had to make a great act of faith to make up for it. Sometimes God tries us just like he tries Abraham. Not that we're going to have to go up a mountain and sacrifice a child, but he tries us in not seeing that our prayers are necessarily answered right away, by sometimes giving us hardships that seem very difficult for us to bear. And at times, it seems like there's no chance of the good being procured by our prayers and our sacrifices. no natural means of success that could come to us. But it's in this, that trial, that he wants us to give a bit more of ourselves. Perhaps adding sacrifice to our prayers. Perhaps adding a longevity of time to our prayers, never wavering in that trust that he will see all through. Sometimes he does he tries us in this way to see if we really do actually trust him, and if we are really willing to leave our own comfort behind, our own level of how far we're willing to go for the good things of God. Are we willing to step outside of that area of comfort for ourselves, to sacrifice, to pray, to do the things that God needs us to do in order to see our way through the trial and obtain the goods that we are praying for? Sometimes he wants us to do this even just to the point that there seems no earthly way something could happen, so that we absolutely know that this good thing comes from God and God alone, because there was no other means which it could have been obtained. But with that perseverance, with that good sacrifice, and with that object being a true good and a true need for ourselves, God promises that he will give it to us if we follow through. And so it's up to us to succeed in that trial. Now, Laetare Sunday today reminds us of this fact. What do we have? The liturgy, in so many ways, all the externals of the liturgy always point to us to show the spirit that we should have on these liturgical days. And we find ourselves in the middle of Lent now, yet the purple that we've worn for the previous Sundays all the way up until now, that purple of sacrifice that is represented there, has been lightened. It's still there, but it's a much lighter shade, which we would call rose. It's a Rose Sunday, and it's there because it reminds us of the hope that all of us have to have in that end result of the good of God, that hope of our own salvation that is promised to us, the hope of salvation that is given to us by the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. We still have almost half of the Lenten season left, yet we realize with this day that we can rejuvenate our own sacrifices and our own Lenten resolutions, because perhaps at this point we've wavered. Perhaps at this point we haven't completed our duties towards Lent, or we haven't always followed through with our resolutions. Or perhaps we now are starting to get in a mode of just doing the things that we've offered up by means of habit, if you will. I'm just fasting because that's what I do during Lent, and I'm no longer spiritualizing that action. I'm just going through the motions, if you will. But today rejuvenates us for that cause, to finish out Lent in a very good and holy way, to redouble our efforts in making a good sacrificial season, to redouble our efforts to make sure that we spiritualize our actions and don't just do them by external means. Because in this day, we're reminded of that goal, the reason why we sacrifice, that is, for salvation. We're reminded of that, not just for Lent, but also we're reminded for that of the promise of salvation at the end of our life. Because to us, life, too, is very much like the Lenten season. It lasts seemingly a very long time, but in hindsight, not so much. It lasts for a finite period of time, and during it, there are sacrifices, there are hardships. We have difficulties turning away from sin and temptation. We have difficulties doing the right things that God wants us to do, and persevering in trying to live a virtuous life, and trying to grow spiritually, and trying to do the things that we know are going to be pleasing in the eyes of God, to better ourselves in our own spiritual life day after day. There is a reason why we refer to life at times as the veil of tears. Not because every day is gloomy and nasty, though the weather outside today is terrible, but because of the fact that we know that our life here is not always going to be bliss. At times, it's going to be hard. At times, succeeding and fighting against temptation and fighting for the good spiritual growth that we need is going to be hard. At times, we'll meet up even with persecution itself for these actions. Yet we're reminded today of that ultimate end. There is that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, which is eternal paradise, eternal bliss, greater than any bliss we've ever known in our lives, salvation gained for us by the sacrifice of the cross by our Lord, and the sacrifice in our own lives, joining it with the passion of our Lord, enduring and persevering in prayer and sacrifice and working towards salvation with fear and trembling each and every day. That is our Lenten life, in the hopes of the resurrection of our own bodies with our Lord on Easter. Our own Easter, if you will, in a sense of ourselves getting to heaven. That's what this season of Lent is about. That's what this spirit for Laetare Sunday is to remind us of. That is why we have this, to keep our minds focused. Focus on what is most important. Making the most of our efforts here so that we can merit in the long run, in the end. And it's that constant rejuvenation of that thought, that keeping our eye on that goal, that is going to aid us in being able to withstand any trial that comes our way and be able to succeed in obtaining all the good things that God providence wills us to have. Most especially our spiritual gain of heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.